The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Now, I want you to listen to this very carefully, because we need to understand what God is saying to us out of this passage. And I believe that God is speaking out of this passage in a way that has been lost on the church because of religion and tradition and legalistic teaching. Paul says, do you not know? Do you not know that the unrighteous would not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, how many know that? Say amen. Then he continues by saying, neither is a conjunction. There's a connection between the unrighteous not inherit the kingdom of God, and the others, he says, will not also inherit the kingdom of God. So the word neither is a conjunction, and it means not the one or the other of the two. Don't miss this. Not the one or the other, not the one, not the other of the two. The two. So Paul is speaking about two groups of people here. Now, it's pretty clear to us he's speaking about the unrighteous, first of all. But there's another group of folk, and these are church folk, supposed to be believers. But Paul says neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards or revilers, no extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. Now, if we get real with this thing, and we need to keep it real, we know that none of the unrighteous have a problem with living right, but sometimes believers have their struggles too. Now, it's easy to look at this passage and want to lump everybody in the same category, but Paul doesn't do that. It's obvious that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. But it's lost on us many times that believers that struggle with these vices that Paul's enumerated, if they practice these things, if they continue in these acts, Paul says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. So today I want to talk about inheritance cheaters. Inheritance cheaters. Now, I shared with you some time ago that when my father passed away in 1996, he left my siblings and I an inheritance. It was an inheritance of money, cash money, as well as land. But God forbid had somebody tried to cheat us out of our inheritance. Because that land and that money belonged to me and my siblings. But perhaps you've heard of situations where somebody just shows up out of the blue and they want to claim what you thought was rightfully coming to you. An inheritance cheater. Now, an inheritance is property. It's property received from an ancestor. And my father was my ancestor. In other words, it's something of value that's passed on and received by another. And the Lord says the kingdom of God is something of value. And this is why Paul is relating the kingdom of God to an inheritance. Because the kingdom of God is something of value that God wants to pass on to you and I. But he's saying that we're in jeopardy if we allow these forces to cheat us. Who are the cheaters of our inheritance? The cheaters of our inheritance is sin. It is Satan himself and his false religious indoctrination. Somebody ought to say amen. Sin, Satan, and false religion indoctrination will cheat you out of your inheritance. Is that right? So anything or anyone that unlawfully circumvents or uproots your lawfully right to receive an inheritance is an inheritance cheater. It's your right to receive the kingdom of God. You have every right to enjoy the privilege of God's kingdom. Now, but people who are living characteristically, and I mentioned, talked about this a couple weeks ago, there are some people living characteristically, if you will, unrighteous lives. Paul says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is, in my opinion, that is the word of God. So it begs the question, Paul says the unrighteous should not inherit the kingdom. What does it mean? Is Paul saying the unrighteous and even those believers in the church that are continuing and practicing different sins, what is Paul saying? Is Paul saying that they're not going to heaven? He didn't say that. Is Paul saying they won't inherit the kingdom of heaven? Well, you can make the argument that he is saying they won't inherit the kingdom of heaven, because the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are used interchangeably throughout the Gospels. And one phrase tells us whose kingdom it is. It's the kingdom of God. And the other phrase tells us where the kingdom proceeds from. But is Paul saying that even some in the church are not going to receive heaven? That's pretty clear to us that an unrighteous person will not go to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. And if an unrighteous person, having confessed Jesus as Savior Lord, we all will agree they will not go to heaven. At least that's our understanding from Scriptures. But what about the neither? That second group. And such were some of you, Paul says. But he says you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God. And the question is, when were they washed? We know they had to be washed before they came to Christ. But now that you're in Christ, are you allowing him to continue to wash you with the washing of the water by the word? Are you still walking by faith in your justification? In other words, just as if I had never sinned. Are you still living a sanctified life? So what does it mean? Does it mean you're not going to heaven because you committed one of these vices? You're guilty of one of these vices. What does it mean you will not inherit the kingdom of God? Well, let's consider the scriptures themselves. I believe scripture ought to interpret scripture. How many believe that? You don't need my opinion. The unrighteous not inherit the kingdom of God. Neither those in the church who are fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, come on, thieves. You mean there's thieves in the church? Yes. Even in Paul's day, there were thieves in the church. The covetous, drunkards, nor drunkards, nor revilers. In other words, people like to live a wild life of partying. Nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Doesn't that bother you if you don't know what that means? I mean, can we just leave it right here? I think we do ourselves a disservice, because oftentimes we're thinking the wrong thing. We're misapplying the word of God. So what does it mean that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God, and neither some of those in the church that are engaging in continuous unrighteous acts? What does that mean? They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is my inheritance, and I want my inheritance. I want to live and walk in my inheritance. I want to enjoy my inheritance. So I need to know what that means. I don't want nobody or nothing to cheat me out of my inheritance. So the only way to know what Paul is really saying is to look at the scriptures themselves. In the Gospel of Mark chapter 1, after John had been put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Jesus preached that the kingdom of God was at hand. He didn't preach that the kingdom of God is someplace you go when you die. Oh, don't you look at me like that. He said it's at hand. And at hand means it's near, it's here, it's approaching. He never taught that the kingdom of God was someplace you go after you die. Let's consider Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus was demanding of the Pharisees about when the kingdom of God should come. And Jesus told the Pharisees, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation. Neither will they say, 'Look here and look there.' For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." He said, "The kingdom of God is in you." If the kingdom is in you, then he wasn't talking about inheriting the kingdom when you die and go to heaven. Hello, somebody. Consider John chapter 3. Jesus' discourse with Nicodemus. He said to Nicodemus, "Truly, truly I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Then he went on to say, "Truly, truly I say unto you, except a man is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Then in verse 12 of John chapter 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "If I have told you about earthly things," what earthly things? The new birth and the kingdom of God. Don't miss that. The new birth and the kingdom of God is not about your preparation to die. It's about your preparation to live right here, right now, enjoying the kingdom of God. We want to put the kingdom of God way off. In an ethereal sense, we want to put it way off in the outer space somewhere, beyond the universe. And Jesus says it's right here, it's at hand. Told the Pharisees, it's inside of you. Then he told Nicodemus, it's a kingdom you can see. It's a kingdom you can enter into. And he said, these are earthly things. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? So everything Jesus said to Nicodemus was about the earth realm. Huh? So what is Paul saying here to the Corinthians? What is Paul saying? What does it mean to inherit the kingdom of God? How many want to inherit the kingdom of God? Say amen. Well, the kingdom of God belongs to you. It's your rightful inheritance. But if you allow sin, Satan, or false religious indoctrination come between you and the kingdom, you would have been cheated out of your inheritance. Because everybody seems to think that we need to put the truth of God's kingdom off to after we die. And the kingdom is for right here, right now. So what is inheriting the kingdom of God? Well, Paul told the Romans, Romans 14, verse 17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not eating and drinking. But it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let me say it again. Can't get any simpler than that. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not about keeping the rules. It's not about dietary laws. It's not about meat and drink, eating and drinking. But it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So when Paul says that the kingdom of God is your inheritance, he is talking about the blessings of receiving God's Spirit, God's righteousness, which is also his unconditional acceptance of us, and he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God's, the blessing of God's Spirit, his righteousness, and what is peace and joy? Fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. So the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And when you're cheated out of your inheritance, beloved, you don't enjoy the benefits of God's Spirit. And many times you don't even feel the Spirit anymore, because all you're feeling is guilt and condemnation. All you're feeling is that feeling of being a person with a low self-concept or a low self-esteem, because the enemy is beating you, you know, relentlessly, if you will, without ceasing. He's beating you up, and you don't feel that joy and that peace in the Holy Ghost because you've been cheated. Too many of us are walking around right now, and you know we allow the enemy to cheat us. Just because you slipped, just because you fell, doesn't mean you have to stay in a fallen state. You can get up. David said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For I, the Lord, will uphold him in my hand. So even if you make a mistake, get up. First you got to look up, then get up. And then you got to go on with the Lord. You don't want to be named among that second group that's sandwiched with the word neither. I don't want to be named among the unrighteous. Neither do I want to be named among those that are committing and practicing such vices that Paul says you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it's not talking about dying and going to heaven. It's talking about the quality of your life here on earth. And I'm telling you, without God's Spirit in your life is not as full and abundant as God wants it to be. Without that joy and that peace, my God, without joy, you're still sad. Without peace, you're still in turmoil. You're still filled with fear, anxiety. You're still stressed out without that joy and peace. But he said it's in the Holy Ghost. Now, Paul also said this in another place. He didn't just say this to the Corinthians. He said this also to the Galatian Christians. And he said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, he says, now the works of the flesh are evident. And then in verse 19, he says, and they that do these things, in other words, they that practice these things, shall not see the kingdom of God. Then in verse 22, he didn't just stop there. He used the word but. There's that conjunction again. He's connecting those who practices the works of the flesh with those who don't. So now the works of the flesh are evident, and they that practice these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is the kingdom. You cannot separate the fruit of the Spirit from the kingdom of God, because the fruit of the Spirit is part of your inheritance in the kingdom. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Come on. Faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. This is what Paul was talking about. This is what Jesus was talking about. He said it's a kingdom you can see. It's a kingdom you can enter. Yes, you can see the love of God in the lives of others and even in your own life. You can see whether you have joy and peace. You can see whether you're a long-suffering person. You can enter into being a gentle person, being a person of goodness. You can enter into walking by faith and not by sight. You can enter into making the decision to be humble, meek, rather than proud and haughty. You can make the decision for temperance, which is self-control. You see, the kingdom is things we can see and things we can enter into. And except you be born again, you will not see what I'm talking about. In fact, everything I'm talking about to you right now is going in one ear, not the other, because you just don't see it. And how can you enter into something you don't see? Huh? And I'm telling you, beloved, you're being cheated out of your inheritance. So who are the cheated? Well, there's two groups, the unrighteous and the believers. The unrighteous and some believers. Now, it's the unrighteous that have never accepted Christ. Obviously, they're being cheated. Many know the truth. They've heard the gospel message, but they still rejected it. They still put it off. They're saving it for another day, when I'm down on my bed, my sick bed, or when I'm in jail, or when I get old, before I die, then I'll consider Christ. They are being cheated out of the inheritance, because when Jesus died, he died for the sins of the whole world. When he came to his baptism, John the Baptist said to him, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." But yet, Jesus died for the sins of the world, but yet the world as a whole have not received him. So it's the unrighteous that are the cheated. It's some believers. And these are the believers that are practicing or continuing in sin. Now, let's get this clear. I do not believe in preaching against sin, because Jesus didn't. He preached good news. He preached the answer to sin. I do not believe in beating people up, making them feel remorseful and guilty with the hope that maybe they'll straighten up and fly right. No, if anything, they're going to get worse. But I have to give you God's word. And the word of God shows me there's two groups of people that are being cheated. The unrighteous obviously have been cheated. And those believers who are continuing and practicing sin, they're being cheated. Why are they being cheated? Because they're living unchristlike lives. Unchristlike. I didn't say they weren't in Christ. I'm not going to go that far. Who am I to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or fall. It's not my prerogative to say who's saved, who isn't saved, who's going to heaven, or who is going to heaven, because I don't have a heaven to put him in. I had a preacher, a pastor one time in the Baptist church. In fact, living in Minnesota when I was in law school. And my pastor, I'll never forget, he said, when you get to heaven, you're going to get three surprises. He said, the first surprise you're going to get is you're going to look around and there's some folk who's not going to be there that you thought would be there. He said, the second surprise you're going to get is that there are going to be a lot of folks there that you didn't think would be there. And here's where he lost me on the third one. He says, you're going to look around and you're going to be surprised you're there. I will not be surprised. See, he had me on the first two. But by the time he got to the third one, no, you don't lost me now. I will not be surprised because I believe that I will not die to go to heaven. I believe heaven has come to me. I believe that I'm living as a new creator, as a new creature, and a new creation. I believe heaven belongs to me now. That's what I believe. Amen? And so when I die, I'm just going to transfer, just like you transfer on a bus line. I'm going to get off one bus and get on another bus. Or should I say get off of one jet plane and get on a rocket ship? Come on, somebody. That's all I'm going to do. So I'm closing with John chapter 3, if you turn there. John chapter 3. Now, we need more teaching like this in the church, in my opinion. Because we want to just cavaliers say, well, this person's going to heaven, but this person ain't. No, give people the word. Paul says, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom. Neither. Not the one. Not the other of the two. Neither. And it is true that even though many of us are saved, it is possible we live our lives like people that have not been saved. We don't live our lives with the blessings of God. We don't live our lives in the presence of God. Yes, you've been saved, but you're not living a Christ-like life. But that's not beyond a possibility. In fact, it's very possible. Somebody said, well, the Christian life is hard to live. Yeah, you're right about that. That's because you ain't supposed to be living it. Christ lives in you.
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. We hope you'll join us Sunday for a live worship service at 1430 South New Hope Road in Southeast Raleigh. www.agapeword.net. That's 10 a.m. Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship.
Hi, I'm Jackie Diaz, inviting you to worship with us on Sundays at 10 a.m. Hear a life-changing message of God's unconditional love and acceptance that will strengthen and bless you. Agape Word Fellowship is located at 1430 South New Hope Road in Raleigh. Children and youth ministries are available. Casual dress is always welcome. Agape Word Fellowship is the home of word power. Hola, soy Jackie Diaz, invitándolos a adorar a nuestro Señor los domingos a las 10 de la mañana. Escucha un mensaje de amor incondicional y aceptación y bendición y fortaleza. Los ministerios de niños y jóvenes están disponibles. Vestido casual es bienvenido. Agape Word Fellowship es la casa del poder de la palabra.